They change cultures. They're heat seekers. They run at adversity and embrace change. These are the Room Tilters.
Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. I mean, that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make it such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be.
This is the Room Tilters podcast, presented by Limitless Minds. Co-hosts DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, founders of peak performance and leadership consulting company, Limitless Minds, explore how the best and brightest change the temperature in a room. From sports, the military, entertainment and media, clinical psychologists to CEOs, this podcast will navigate what it takes to think big and go far. And now, DJ and Harry.
At Limitless Minds, we always say success leaves clues. And today we have an outstanding guest, Ty Rogers. He's a filmmaker, a photographer, a graphic designer. He's worked with the University of Indiana, Duke, Michigan. This man has won 2 Emmys. Let me repeat, 2 Emmys. Harry, tell me some of your thoughts, man, on the show.
May I first fact check you on something?
Yeah, yeah.
So for those Hoosiers out there, they'll be upset. They're going to be upset because you said University of Indiana. You know damn well it's called Indiana University.
Right. You're right.
So listen, for all those Hoosiers out there, he's sincerely apologizes. And, you know, I apologize on his behalf. That said, Ty Rogers is a beast, man. Like, I think that for those that will go find him after this, you know, his content is awesome. It's dope. It's creative, obviously. But he's worked with some of the, you know, some great athletes, some great teams, kind of some storied organizations. And like DJ said, but also, you know, some athletes, current athletes like Cam Newton and others. So pretty cool. I mean, I think it's neat to talk to somebody that's that creative. And one thing I liked that what he talked about is, you know, going from working for some of these teams and then kind of take, you know, and then kind of taking a chance on himself as a freelance guy and what that means for him.
Yeah.
And then how, you know, how entrepreneurship is going to have some adversity around the corner. So I like his response around that. So listeners, look for that.
Yeah, I mean, I love this humility throughout. I mean, he obviously has worked with some amazing people. He's done amazing things at a young age. And so enjoy.
Welcome to the Room Tilters podcast. We have Ty Rogers, content creator, filmmaker, photographer, has worked with some of the best people in the world. And super excited to have you on today. How are you doing, Ty?
I'm doing well, man. Appreciate you guys having me on here.
That's great. Where are you at? Where are you located right now?
I'm west side of LA near Calabasas. I ain't got that type of money. So I'm not in Calabasas, but I'm in West Hills right outside there. Well, I'm loving it, man. I've been out here 5-6 months, moved from near Detroit where I was the last 3 years.
I saw that Oakland University. You spent a little bit of time there?
Yep, I did. That was, are you familiar with that?
My best friend growing up played for Coach Campy.
Campy, yeah. Legend yep. There, man. He's been there for a long time. I was there. It's been a while since I worked. I was a baseball coach. You know, the school, small little D1 school in Michigan. But yeah, I love my time there in Rochester Hills, Michigan.
That's great, man. You got an athletic background. You play D1 baseball, which is awesome. And then you take that and tell us a little bit about your journey, even as a kid. Where'd you grow up? And then how did you get to where you're at right now?
So I grew up in Lafayette, Indiana, which is across the river from Purdue University there in the Big Ten. So I grew up in Big Ten country. I actually went to Indiana University in college to play ball. But prior to that, yeah, I spent my whole childhood in Lafayette. Was a sports guy, sports family, baseball, basketball, never played football. And, you know, I don't know if it was my mom just didn't want me to get hurt or something. I've never really asked, but like I do a lot of my work today is involved with football, but I've actually never played the game other than like, you know, outdoors with the buddies and stuff like that, tailgating. But like, yeah, baseball, basketball growing up, was decent at basketball. I was okay. But like baseball was my sport. You know, I played AAU travel baseball growing up, going everywhere. Cooperstown, which everyone's heard of when you're little, you know, it's like an alternative little league. And then, you know, growing up through high school, got a baseball scholarship, played at Indiana University, and actually had a pretty good career. I mean, I was a really good college player, but, you know, obviously when it comes to being a pro, you got to have tools, right, in any sport. I was just a really good college player. Ended up having a good career, all Big Ten, second team, my senior year. Led the Big Ten in batting average. So that's like my one thing I can take away from that. We had some good teams, but like I tried the pro level and then played a year independent rookie for a year. And then I was like, you know, my dream of making the major leagues is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're playing a sport growing up, like that's your dream, right? You know, high school football player, I want to play in the NFL, and then, you know, basketball, NBA, me, in my case, MLB. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, adversity hits you, you move on and figure out what you want to do next. So from there, after 1 year of pro ball and, not seeing that I'm going to make it to the major league, there's so many levels in baseball, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, all right, how can I stay in it? Because I was a criminal justice major, but I've never done anything with that, obviously. So it's kind of crazy, but I was a criminal justice major, but I wanted to stay in baseball. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try the baseball coaching tree. And started, my first job was at Parkland Junior College, which is in Champaign, Illinois, by University of Illinois. And JUCO, really good baseball school, started there and just kept working up. Oakland, like you mentioned earlier, they're in Michigan, small D1. Mm-hmm. Eastern Illinois, small D1. Jimmy Garoppolo actually was there. When I was coaching there, Garoppolo was actually the quarterback. So that was actually a good time when I was coaching there. He's obviously a stud, but like coached there for a year and then took a job with my alma mater, Indiana University, where I played and spent maybe 6 months as a third assistant coach. Loved it. Good program. Definitely on the rise. And they made the College World Series like a year or two prior to that. So it was like, and I played there, but when I was playing in Indiana, you know, it was bottom of the barrel. But then when my class came in, like we ended up winning the Big Ten my junior year. So it's like Indiana was growing as a baseball school, so on and so forth. But, you know, after my time passed, they ended up making the College World Series. So they've really grown. So it was a good program to be a part of. And then when the transition, I guess, to my career happens, was like, was being a coach, but I took on a hobby of other things. And that's kind of like what led to where I'm at today.
When did you finish there at IU?
It would have been 2010.
You're younger than I am. So I played college baseball. I went to University of Richmond, and but I finished in 2005. So you're probably just finishing your high school career there. Yeah, I finished in 2005, and but we went to the college. We were a game away from the College World Series in 2002. That spring, my freshman year, we had a squad. We were 53-13. Lost in Nebraska in Lincoln, in game three of the regionals, and just missed Omaha. You know, Alex Gordon was on Nebraska's team and roped a couple doubles and took it away in the game three. But Kyle, baseball is a fantastic sport. You know, I mean, I always give DJ a hard time for not playing baseball, but baseball is a great sport because there's a lot to learn in that sport in itself. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what baseball taught you, kind of about life.
One, being baseball and even grander, like just being a part of a team. I think competition, adversity, how to not be a sore loser, how to overcome adversity when something can hit you in the face. Cause you know, you're going to lose games, especially in baseball. You play so many where, you know, football, you can go through a clean slate if you get lucky enough, even though that's hard. But like, there's so many baseball games, so many basketball games that like, you're going to lose and face an adversity, bonding with teammates, learning to work with teammates. There's so many like life lessons that I've learned from just being a part of a team. And leading up to today, being part of teams even in a different capacity compared to a baseball player. But I don't know. It's just so many things that I've learned, accountability. And I mean, I could go on and on.
Now you mentioned failure. I mean, and this is kind of a cliche for those that follow baseball. But if you do make it to the majors and you fail 70% of the time, like you're likely going to play in the Hall of Fame and be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? You're going to be like, if you bat 300, man, like, you know, you're one of the best to ever do it. And so it's just a game of failure, you know, constantly every day, every outing at the plate, you're likely going to get less hits than you do get hits. It is amazing. So just that resilience that kind of has to be built in is something that I think that, you know, I know that as a former baseball player, I've had to take with me along the way and can draw from, you know what I mean? So I think that's the interesting thing about baseball is that like consistent failure to face it, you know, it's tough.
Ty, you've been around so many, Sean has for the last week has been sending us a lot of your stuff, which is absolute fire, by the way. Your content is awesome. We create a lot of content too for you know, our company Limitless Minds and you know, yours is top notch. So you've been able to work with some of the best in the world. Well, tell us what you've learned from, you know, some of these people that you've worked with. You know, is there anything that stands out that's consistent among some of these top performers?
Yeah, I would say their just daily approach, their daily grind. I mean, it's the sacrifice they make, or rather their determination that they have, you know, the hard work and dedication that they bring every time I've been around them. It doesn't waver. It's it's the same. And I'm not an NFL player. I'm not an NBA, MLB, but I can relate in a sense because I did play sports. So I can relate with them when I'm around them and I can see what they've done or what I'm used to and how they even take it to that next step or next level. And I think it's just that daily grind that they're so dedicated, at least the athletes I've been around, they revolve everything almost around their craft and what they do. You know, speaking as an NFL player, for example, now out of college is your profession, your job. And the ones I've been around, it's like, wow, if people don't even know how much like time and effort they put into this. It's not just like the football stuff. It's the training, you know, the nutrition, all this stuff. But, you know, being around them, it kind of is eye opening. And I've been around quite a few. I've been fortunate enough to be around quite a few now that, you know, it just, it's consistent with all of them. It really is.
Because I know you work with Cam Newton, yeah. Right? Yep. When was the last time you got a chance to be around him?
So it's been when he got injured is kind of like when it got halted, rather, you know, that game. I was at the game film. I can't remember who they were playing. He got hurt, the shoulder thing, a little bit of an ankle leg issue. So he was out the season. So we didn't do much after that. I mean, it was nonstop prior for a year, year and a half. But that, you know, he sat out and then I ended up moving out here. He goes to New England. Yeah. So it's almost nearly impossible to make that trip now. So it's kind of like unfortunate. Yeah, yeah. So he's got a guy out there. It'd just be a lot of traveling for me to go out, you know, east and flying back, you know, time change and all that. But if he was going to come to LA, I mean, it would have been, I'd be at the games for sure. Yeah, but like, sure. I was hoping he's going to be a Charger, but like he was, ended up being a Pat. But anyway.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean, because, and the reason why I asked about Cam specifically, because I know you worked with a lot of different people. You know, Cam's in the front of my mind because he just played, you know, when, as we're recording this, he played my brother last, you know, this past Sunday. Yeah. It was a tight game. Cam looked great. You know, some of the pundits feel like, you know, he looks the best he's ever looked and whatever the overreactions are, but he did look good and he looked healthy. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about Cam is that I would imagine is true based on what you said a minute ago is, I have a feeling he puts in a lot more work than he gets credit for, you know, behind the scenes. And there's other reasons. I think there's other reasons why people don't necessarily want to give him that credit. But and some of that ties when you're winning, people will talk about you a certain way. When you're losing or when you're not as successful, people will talk about you differently. And so it's very easy to do that. But I mean, and I was curious to get some insight from you on, you know, what you've seen from Cam, you know, as you know, creating content previously and then kind of what you're noticing even from afar now, you know?
Cam, and I've been around a lot of athletes, like you mentioned, a lot of hard workers. He's probably, if not the hardest working athlete I've been around, he's up there. I mean, when I'm around Cam, when he's flown me out to Charlotte or, you know, in Atlanta where his other house is, most of the time it's for him working out and football related. So I've only really been around him when it comes to that. I mean, there's been other things, Met Gala, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Being into fashion and whatnot, and the hat company he also owns.
Yeah.
Doc him. Anyway, most of the time I'm around him, he's always working. And dude's an animal. He's a freak athlete, as we all know. I mean, just dripping sweat, just going, you know, very motivational, works hard and long. Like, I've been, you know, University of Michigan, like an hour or two weightlifting work. I mean, he'd go 3 hours. It's or even longer, you know, running, weightlifting. He's an absolute freak of an athlete. But no, he definitely deserves more credit than he's been given. You know, he's very, very personable, very outgoing personality. So like you mentioned, there could be people that if he's not winning, you know, with the Panthers, people, blah, 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 he doesn't work hard, whatever.
Sure.
Because he has interest in more than just football. So people just take, oh, he's into fashion, you know, let's be negative. Like, oh, he doesn't work hard. He's too much into his new hat or his outfit, which he just does all that stuff. You know, that's what he does. He's into all that. He has other hobbies and interests. And yeah, like you said, people will twist anything, but what they don't see or know is that he's up at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning working out, you know, and and he has time to find a fashion outfit. It's like, you can do all that in 24 hours if you really want. So it's like, I don't know, some of these people on, you've seen it on social media. Yeah,
sure.
Just, you know, negative Nancy or whatever, but yeah.
Sure.
He worked extremely hard.
You know, you've done stuff with professional teams. You know, we know that you've done some things with colleges too. You're even starting to do some things with high school. I know Bronny, you've done some shoots with them. I think on the Uninterrupted.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about that and going into high school now, because that seems that's new, right? Like, I mean, when I was in high school, you know, people weren't following me around with the camera. I think they would be now, Harry.
Those are for different reasons, though, DJ. There's a certain lack of talent. You know, people are following people with talent.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah. You gotta have some game.
So now we've gone down to the high school level. So tell us a little bit about that and how it's different or if it's different.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different as far as the scale of things. Now, it was a cool project with Uninterrupted, and obviously being, you know, LeBron being owner in there with Maverick Carter and whoever else. But like, you know, that was, you know, one reason why the whole project happened, following Sierra Canyon boys basketball team around however many games it was, pretty much all of them, their high school season right before COVID hit, right before the state finals, which was a bummer because they made it there, but it was a cool opportunity. And I think, like, you know, like you mentioned, their high school team, it's a private school. They're, you know, they got 4 and 5 stars left and right. And Brownie being a freshman, I mean, you wouldn't think he's a freshman. And one, his dad, you know, obviously being LeBron, like, he's probably used to cameras everywhere. So it never, like, affected him. You know, he's definitely to himself, but, like, he's not shy to the camera. So it's like, he's probably used to that spotlight, just being around, growing up with his father. But it was a cool project. But as far as, like, the scale of things, you know, doing NFL, NBA, you know, University of Michigan, Duke men's basketball, like, when it went to high school, and I grew up in Indiana, so, like, high school basketball is huge in the state of Indiana. Like, gyms are, like, 12, 13,000, and they'll fill up, and it's high school, right? Basketball. Right. Well, out here in California, when we did that project, like, Sierra Canyon seats, like, 400, 500. So I was like, this is just different, because it's, one, I came from bigger arenas, being in pro sports and college, and then knowing high school basketball in Indiana. But, like, it was just wild. There'd be people lined up out the door an hour or two just to get in because of Bronny James and the potential of LeBron being at the game, which he did come to quite a few when the Lakers were playing. So that was neat to be up close and personal with them, you know, being around kids, high energy, a lot of fun, you know. But it was definitely different, you know, going from like pro college to high school, but I have no problem doing that. And it was a cool project with UM.
No, that's great. I got a chance to see LeBron play in high school, his junior year in high school. Yeah. And it was a circus, but they were playing at, you know, Gund Arena at that time. So that, you know, it seated thousands and thousands of people. But it is an absolute circus when you get some of these elite high school players playing. And so I'm sure that was fun. What I'm trying to get you to do, though, is, like, if you could just follow me around, like, when I'm picking Amari up, you know, from school, you know what I mean? Like, you know, brushing their teeth. I mean, I think we could have a project, man. So we could talk offline about that. But there's a lot of good things I'm doing in the community.
Ty, let me tell you one other thing that just happened. Actually, it happened today. Let me just tell you a story. Let me tell you a quick story. So DJ and I were just on a phone call. You know, it's typical. You know, listen, we're business partners, handling our stuff, right? And all of a sudden, you know, sometimes somebody walks up to you while you're talking. So you're like, hey, what's going on? Kind of one of those things. Hey, what's up? So DJ gives like, how are you? Hey, what's up? Kind of greeting. But then the conversation continues, and it's a lady, and I think DJ's out front of a Starbucks, and she's asking him a question, which seems innocent, certainly. And then all of a sudden, I hear her say, "Oh my gosh, you are so handsome." and DJ's voice gets high. He's, "Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. Thank you."
Really that high?
He hit the falsetto. It was fire. He hit that falsetto.
Fire.
But you hit that falsetto, so I knew that you were like blushing, which means that you're probably like a copper red penny. And I was like, wow, this guy thinks he's a star. So like, he talked to this woman I'm on the other side of the phone, and he's talking to this woman for a good 7-8 minutes.
She was very nice.
But her husband was with her too, which was odd. So I just don't know how that went when they left. But DJ, listen, man, DJ was, don't sleep on DJ. You know, everybody loves DJ. We our customers love DJ. So we bring him in like strategically on things. But it's always live. It's always live, or now virtual, of course.
What was funny about that is, like, when I'm having the conversation with the lady, Harry's heckling me in the earbuds, right? It was interesting. Thanks, Harry. Thanks for putting me on blast, man.
No problem, man. That's literally what I'm here for.
So anyways, yeah. So Ty, so tell us about kind of what's like next for you. I mean, you've done so much, man. You're young. You know, I'd love to hear what's in the future. I mean, and put it into context too, because you've taken such a risk in terms of, you know, you could have done the traditional, you're a smart guy, traditional kind of job, and you go out on your own, you're having success. Now what's next?
Great question. How I'm going to answer this. I've been with team programs for the longest time for my profession. You know, Duke men's basketball 2 years, University of Michigan, Indiana men's basketball for a brief moment before Duke. But when I've worked for the teams, I loved it. It was a lot of fun, salary, position, you know, a lot of perks being part of a team and being with those young athletes that are, you know, striving to be, you know, superstars someday, that young energy, college age, a lot of fun. Absolutely miss those, being personable every day, day-to-day stuff with those athletes. But branching out freelancing now, I think it's been 14, 15 months. Yeah, since I branched out from Michigan. It's been a game changer for me personally. Absolutely love it. Pretty much my own boss. I mean, I can take jobs that I want. You know, if I don't want to do that and I want to go on vacation next week, then I don't have to take the job. So it's like I can do what I want to do. I like to work. I don't really do much more than that. I haven't even been watching the NBA playoffs much. It's been so busy, but like, that's just my passion and what I do, camera related, editing, all that stuff. But freelancing has really been eye-opening to me for those many reasons. And basically I'm in control of how much I want to make each month. Now the con is, you know, it's month to month, right? What I make this month is going to be different the next month. And for some people, money doesn't matter and it's not everything for sure. I love what I do first and foremost, but being out here and getting to work, like what we said, you know, NFL or high school with uninterrupted colleges, Arizona State football, you know, working with them and getting to be around like Herm Edwards, he's a classic, just hilarious. So like, hopefully, knock on wood, they play this year. I'll be filming a lot of their games. Like, it's just fun to like do different projects. And I think that's what's really up my mind, you know, product photography with like Spalding basketball being one of their main guys. It's really opening the doors rather than just being part of just one team. I'm not saying that's bad or anyone who's part of a team might take it the wrong way, but I definitely love that. But being in the freelance model has definitely opened my eyes to like expanding my craft. And, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, I think just growing my freelance business. Right now I'm solo, but like, you know, I'm growing it from the ground up and it's going well so far, but maybe down the road I have more digital or physical camera related products that I sell and I need people, you know, part of a small team to like build something out here. But like 5, 10 years, definitely going to probably stay in the freelance game, but hopefully grow my business from where it's at now.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like
two Emmys, man, two Emmys.
Well, I was going to ask him about that.
I'm just saying that's like the President's Club Award. You know what I mean?
Right. So actually, yeah. And real, like, what's up with those Emmys, man? Like, tell us how you tripped upon those and what that was like.
Literally tripped on those. It was crazy when they announced my name to win those. You know, going into it, it was just a fun experience to like be even nominated for it. And the event is insane. It's super crazy. Really done up, you know, to the T. But it was a lot of fun, like making those two videos. You know, the season opening video would have been 2017 or 2018 for University of Michigan. You know, that's like the big video. It gets everyone, you know, going. It's good for recruiting. You know, it's the night before the game is when it goes out. Every team in America does it. And putting that piece together, it took me 5-6 weeks solo, literally by myself. It was a challenge, but it was a lot of fun. And everything from storyboarding it to getting it all shot with, you know, getting the players to stay after practice to film just so I can make that, you know, that piece and tie it all together. But winning those two in 2017 and then in 2018 was awesome. Definitely an experience I won't forget. And now that I'm out here, hopefully we'll win another one soon. But yeah, super cool, grateful, and humbling as well, because it's there's a lot of talented people in my field. And, you know, it was just really, really cool to say or to hear my name for, like, best photography of the year and best sports feature of the year, so on and so forth. So,
that's awesome, really cool. Man. That's awesome. You know, like, you know, one of the questions I want to ask you, too, is, you know, through that success, right, you're winning Emmys, you're working with, you know, big time athletic programs, you're working with, you know, a former NFL MVP and the likes of other people. And you mentioned about like the freelancing. I think it's great that you're going that direction, because to me, that kind of gives you like this entrepreneurial type of a vibe to your craft, you know? Yeah. And we know as entrepreneurs, around the corner, there's going to be some adversity, right? Which is part of the fun part about being an entrepreneur. And the interesting thing about it is, you know, the people that handle that the best have the greatest level of adversity tolerance. And largely it's because of what maybe they've experienced in the past, you know, like what they can draw from in the past. Are there some moments along the way for you, whether it be professionally, personally, that you kind of carry with you and you know, and you can tap into along the way here that you can draw from an adversity perspective?
Yeah, there's definitely several moments of adversity and having to overcome it. I think going back to like when I was a baseball coach and taking a job where I was a third assistant making literally $15,000 a year, maybe. So, I mean, I was younger, I could do it. Now I definitely couldn't, but like then I think trying to work up that ladder as a coach and a profession and facing, you know, shortcomings in that sense of being able to pay for things and having to live bare minimum. But like I use that example because it's definitely helped lead me to today and understanding and overcoming that, but understanding how to live off minimum, and you can do it. It's just, it's a choice. You know, I don't have the biggest, nicest house out here because I don't want to. I can save money and go from there. But I think living that way, struggling, but working, you know, well over 40 hours a week because I loved what I was doing and trying to get better, you know, you face that adversity of putting in so much work but not getting much in your bank account in return. And it's not all about money for sure. I think that's one example. And then moving up the ladder of just taking new jobs and new and we haven't touched on this yet too much, but like changing my career literally two or three times is a huge obstacle because I have completely jumped in the water with both feet into a profession two or three times that I've never been a part of, and just literally being open-minded and right, wanting to do that, from baseball coach to graphic designer, no video yet or photo, and from there to video. So it's, you know, it changing that is like literally, you know, it's like me tomorrow just changing my career and wanting to be, I don't know, a cook, a chef or something, like just completely wild, right?
Yeah.
And I think those are probably the biggest adversities there's little ones that pop up every now and then for all of us, but like, I think those are the big ones of just jumping in head first and saying, you know what, tomorrow I'm not going to be doing what I did yesterday. I'm completely changing my career and moving forward. So I think those are the biggest obstacles, you know, I've had to overcome and overcome them quickly like I have, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think I was just on the phone earlier today with somebody that was looking to make a career change. And you could tell they were scared. You know what I mean? There was nerves involved. There was uncertainty. And to do that multiple times like you have is, I think, really encouraging to the listeners, because you look where you've landed, right? If you wouldn't have took those risks, you wouldn't be where you're at today and those sacrifices. So I'm really glad that you shared that. Tell us a little bit about the legacy you want to leave, Ty. Like what stamp do you want to put on this earth before you leave?
Great question. Definitely positive and not negative. I think that's the simplest form of putting that. However that can be, a lot of my work is going to be through the visuals I capture and put together for people. And I think, you know, being that digital time traveler with people and being able to create memories that that people can go back on and watch, view, smile, become happy because maybe it's their favorite team I shot or an athlete or something I made. It's you know, it's crazy how many people are Duke basketball fans still follow my work to today. That has nothing to do with Duke. It's just, it tells me that they liked my work so much when I was at Duke that they've continued to follow me, and I'm appreciative of that greatly. But I must have left some form of emotion or feeling through my visuals, because obviously outside of work, like personally, you know, obviously being, you know, right, I have a girlfriend, so being a great boyfriend, hopefully a husband, and then good father eventually, but like that would be the impact on me. But anything positive, you know, I'm all for. I like a positive mindset. I'm a big Gary V guy. So I don't know if you guys listen to Gary V much. Love positive mindset and you know, looking in the now, but you know, planning for the future. And hopefully that answers your question.
It's great, man. It does. It gives us a sneak peek. And it's funny because when we meet successful people like yourself, they typically, you know, put people first. You know what I mean? They want to leave an impact on you know, how can I put people in a place and improve the folks that are around me, the people I'm leading, the people I'm working with, my family. So I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah.
So now we get to go into some of these rapid fire questions. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to ask four or five of them and then we'll finish up with this. So if you were playing baseball in the pros right now, what would be your walkout track?
It'd be the same one as my senior year of baseball, 100%. This song is Disturbed, Down With The Sickness. Now, I'm a hip-hop guy. This is not hip-hop, but I just love it. It amps me up. Whenever I walked it, plus my senior year was great, so I'm biased. Uh-huh. Like, I think that walkout song gave me that energy to, like, you know, become better, a better hitter and not strike out so damn much.
All right, so hip-hop guy, Biggie or Tupac?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Wow. Biggie, probably. Yeah.
All right. How about you, Harry? Biggie or Tupac, man?
I'm a roll with y'all.
Okay.
I'm go with Biggie, but I respect both.
Athlete or celebrity you most want to work with?
I bet you everyone would say this, LeBron James. I would say, and being around, I got to be around him a little bit with Bronny, obviously, but like even still today, but like definitely like in his prime or when he was even younger, crazy athlete. I mean, still crazy athlete. I would say LeBron James, just what he is, what he does, what he stands for, and more just than just like the basketball side, but like his school and all this, you know, all the things that he puts and invests in, like, would be amazing to like just capture and be a part of telling that story.
Yeah, it's true. I was saying this to somebody the other day. I think the same about LeBron. I was talking about Russell with this. I think their careers after sports will be twice as big, three times as big as what it was in sports. And that's saying a lot because both of them had amazing careers. And I think LeBron is in that same boat. Do you play video games? And if so, what do you like to play?
I don't play them.
Doesn't play video games. Thanks, Ty.
I used to. I literally was thinking about this the other day. I was an Xbox guy. I was not PS3 or 4 or whatever. There might be a PS5. I have no idea. I don't call it anymore. But I used to be a big gamer like when I was in college. So it's been a long time. But like when I did play, it was Call of Duty, Halo, okay. Years of War. But like I haven't played in years. So.
Favorite book?
Easy. Relentless by Tim Grover.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's Michael Jordan's
trainer. Michael, Kobe, and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I think he helped mold that Mamba mentality a little bit. Yeah, so.
No doubt. I read it like four or five times. Just the mentality of it, and which is a lot about what your guys' brand and company is about, is it's just insane. Just to, and to see like the backstory of MJ and stuff and Kobe and like the crazy stories are in there, but like that mindset of being a cleaner, and I could go into it. And if you've never read the book, you probably don't know what I'm mentioning, but great book.
I'm going to read it now. Yeah. And then last one, what's your favorite sport out of all the sports to film?
I haven't had the chance to do all of them. I actually never filmed baseball and I played that growing up, but I don't think I'd be into it because it's a slower sport, as my guy knows. But yeah, it's football by far because of the, you know, the hitting, the crushing, the emotion, the size of the field and being able to move around and capture stuff. Where basketball is great, but like you got to, you know, Indian style on the baseline, where football, you can run around the field. So it's just better to film a photo.
Listen, dude, we really appreciate you coming and joining us, man. We'll have to have you back for another time and keep following what you're doing. Speaking of following what you're doing, where can our listeners find you? I'm sure you're on socials. Where can we find you?
So first, my website, tyrogers.net. It's got, if you want to check out any of my work, it's basically my work portfolio, all my videos, photography, social platforms. I'll put this podcast on there and other podcasts I've done are on there. So tyrogers.net for all my work portfolio stuff. And then Instagram is shot by Ty Rogers. And then Twitter is _TyRogers_. So check me out there. Those are my main ones. I'm not a TikTok guy yet, so I need to get on that bandwagon. I'm a little late. But
I can let my 12 and 10-year-old, can Demi and Shea, can get you hip to TikTok. They're on that hours. They put the work in for on that. You know what? Hey, Ty, listen, and anybody that's listening out there, We are talking to a rising star. We appreciate you taking the time today, man. I'm excited to watch you matriculate through your career. And if you need anything, you're part of the Limitless Minds family now, the Room Tilters family. And we appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good one.
You've been listening to the Room Tilters podcast. If you love it, do us a favor and rate us. Write us a review and share it with a friend. We appreciate you, our listeners. And remember, you don't have to be sick to get better.